Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. I hope all is blessed. I hope all is well. I hope you are blessed by this song, I Am the Treasure.
From the day I was born,
bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. I hope all is blessed. I hope all is well. I hope everyone had a good evening, a good day at work, a good day at church yesterday, whatever your day was. I hope it was great, and I hope you're tuning in tonight. I don't know some of you if you know the topic tonight. The topic tonight is homosexuality, right or wrong. On this show, on our topics, they are not to offend anyone. They are not to be disrespectful to anyone. But like we say on Dirty Church, no topic or issue is out of bounds. We feel as though every person that God created has a right to speak their mind, to spread the thoughts that they think on a consistent basis every day. We think based upon how we were raised, what we experienced, what we went through, and that's what we speak from. And tonight, I hope and pray that those out there that are listening, I hope that you call in tonight and express your opinions or your ideas on this issue. Normally, this is an issue that no one really would want to talk about, homosexuality. What does God say about it? He does say something about it. I have my belief on the issue, but I'm not on here to judge. God is the judge of all things, whether you believe in him or not. If you don't believe in God, we want to hear from you tonight on this topic. This is Dirty Church Radio. The dirt on here can handle the seeds of thoughts of mankind. And we guarantee you, something will grow in this dirt. Whether it be what you want it to be or what we want it to be, but something will grow. So tonight, I'm going to let our first co-host on, which is our apostle, Louis Young. God bless you, sir.
Grace and peace.
How you doing, man of God?
I'm all right.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. How was your weekend?
It was good. Busy, but good.
It was good. Busy and good, man. That's good, man. I was glad that I was hoping that you got the information about what was going on tonight and time enough to be on here on the show tonight, because I know you have a busy schedule and I know you're involved in a lot of things, handling a lot of things. But it's always appreciated when you take the time out of your busy schedule, Apostle, and come on the air with us.
I know the radio show is doing great things, so I'm just happy to lend my support and do whatever I can to share information. So, because that's what it's about, sharing information, hearing, getting the dialogue on other people's opinions on the issues that maybe some of the issues that may be a problem or even a solution to whatever we're dealing with. So I'm just happy to be a part of what's going on.
That's great, man. Tonight, I just want to announce, too, for everyone that is out there tonight, that we do have a Dirty Church Radio forum on Facebook where you could become part of that forum. You could become part of that group. I want to tell you also that the group is growing. There are people sharing their ideas, their views, their opinions, their thoughts, whatever it may be. But the thing is, people are talking. They're communicating. Even in the midst of the disagreements or the different points of views that others that we may have, it is doing something on the air. Dirty Church Radio is not trying to be anything that is out there. This is a – you never know – what topic you're going to hear on Dirty Church Radio. We will go way out of the bounds into other galaxies to search for truth, for understanding. You know, living here in America, we understand that, you know, there are many different things that are hitting. There are different things that, you know, information that people have been hiding over the years. Some people put truths out as lies. They put lies out as truths. But it's our mission to search what truth is, regardless of where it takes us. Do you agree with that, Apostle?
Yes.
Well, right now, we're going to have our other host. He's about to come on the air with us, Aaron, the Devil's Advocate, Spradley. What's going on, brother?
How's it going? How's everybody?
Good, man.
Apostle Louis Young.
Yeah, what's going on, Devil?
I've been waiting for you for a very long time.
Everyone out there, there is an issue. I don't know if we might get to it on this show, but Apostle Louis Young and the devil's advocate, Spradley, they will have, I'm going to say, a head-on-head session during one of these episodes.
Just to let you know, I don't necessarily, you know, we don't have to go into it.
No, that's what I'm calling it. That's what I'm calling it. It's a head-on-head
I wish somebody would inform me what this head-on-head issue is.
No, see, it's not actually a head-on issue. The only thing I would like to say concerning our apostle Louis Young, he made a statement on a previous show that was that actually said that we were talking about the Bible concerning what's his name?
William Shakespeare.
There you go. Now, just to be clear on what I said, and we can drop it after this, but just to be clear on what I said, you made a statement saying that I actually said that he was one of the people, or he was on a board, he was one of the people that was appointed on a board by King James to be one of the translators of the Bible. I did not say that. You also said that my information that I give on the show is internet jargon, which is totally absurd to me. Not only that, I just want to clear it up and say that I never said that Mr. William Shakespeare was actually one of the people that translated the Bible. I said that William Shakespeare's work has influenced the Bible in its language, meaning how the Bible speaks when it comes to the language and poetry of the Bible, and vice versa. The Bible also has given Shakespeare's poetry and Shakespeare's playwrights an influence. So that's what I was referring to. Not one time did I say the other thing. As it comes to my information is not jargon. My information comes from very well-established scholars, some that are modern, and also some that are ancient. So I just would like to clear that up before we get into the whole subject of tonight. That's
okay. He had his time to talk. Now it's my time to talk.
All right.
All right.
We got some other guests coming on tonight too. But go ahead.
Okay. I'm not gonna be long. I got definitive proof that I would love to read over the air to back up why I said what I said. I can read off the scholar that's backing up what I'm saying. And to be fair, before I do that, I give you time, Brother Adam, to get your information so that you can have your information to read with the name of the person that wrote the information. I'll read mine, and then we'll let the information speak for itself.
Can we do that during our bonus round? You know, once we go off the air, can y'all do that segment during that time?
Okay, I mean, you know, I'm not necessarily here to debate the issue.
You said that William Shakespeare, from my understanding, from what you said. Mm-hmm. You said William Shakespeare influenced the translation of the Bible.
Exactly.
That's what you said. Okay. And I'm saying that information that you're giving is internet jargon. All right?
Okay, and I'm telling you that it's not internet jargon.
Okay, well, I got definitive proof from the dean of schools at Oxford University.
And I also have
backed up what I'm saying.
During the bonus round, during the other part of the show, we're going to let y'all actually have that discussion and you give each other's information or whatever on that.
All right.
Is that okay? Well, that's
fine with me.
All right, that's good. Listen, tonight the topic is homosexuality, right or wrong. But before we go into that, I'm going to let a few callers that I see on here on the line. I believe one is my brother, which tomorrow night we will be doing the show on his book, The Brotherhood of All Mankind, tomorrow. So, but he's calling in, so I'm going to let him on. Hello?
Yeah, Brother Jay, how you doing there?
How you doing, bro? Listen,
I
tonight...
you're talking about homosexuality, whether it's right or wrong.
Yes, that's the topic for tonight, bro. That's what we're
okay.
going to talk about tonight.
If you look in the book of Leviticus, chapter, I believe it's
18 and 20.
Yeah, I'm coming off the top of my head and remembering, so I don't have the information at hand. But anyway, we know that homosexuality is an abomination before God. And we know this because it goes against what God created man and woman, the purpose for man and woman. And that was for... having children and repopulating the earth. And we know that two men cannot have a child. Neither can two women have a child. So therefore, what they're doing is an abomination, and they're going after their own lust. But now... some people says, well, that's the Old Testament. And we know that in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, I believe it's the first chapter, verses 20, somewhere around there, it talks about, and I want to turn there for a moment so I can read it properly. But you have anything you want to speak on while I'm turning to that chapter?
Well, right now, I mean, we got our Apostle Lewis Young on here. We have our host, Aaron, the Devil's Advocate, on here tonight. I'm expecting a few other pastors to be calling in tonight on this topic. Hopefully they will call in, and hopefully the listeners out there will call in on this topic tonight.
Okay.
You have the scripture?
Now, I'm turning into it now, but now what I was saying before was that when God created man, he took a rib from Adam's side and created woman. And we know that in Genesis chapter 1, verses Genesis chapter 2, that he said that she is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Now, you have a lot of commotion going on in the world about homosexual marriages. And, you know, we live in a world where heterosexuals are finding it harder to marry, but these homosexuals, they want to get married and things of that nature. Like a man will marry a woman. Women want to marry women and men want to marry men, and that's an abomination before the Lord. Now, in Romans, the first chapter, verse 18, It talks about the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who hold truth unrighteously. Now, so when you talk about whether or not homosexuality is right or wrong, the truth of the matter is that they don't care about the truth. They want to do what they want to do. And in verse 21, it said, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, I love that, because you got people with PhDs and senators and politicians and, you know, from the lowest to the highest, who think that whatever they feel good, whatever feels good, then they can do it. And that's wrong. But it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of an uncorruptible, that's the key, uncorruptible God into the image made like corruptible men and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And it says, therefore, God gave them up to the uncleanness thoughts and the lust of their own hearts. And it talks, and it goes on. You're with your scriptures. Everybody's with their scripture.
Yes.
And they can read it.
To
you know,
honor
God
their own bodies between themselves.
Right. So it's not only in the Old Testament that we see that this abomination before God. In the Old Testament, they were to be stoned. They were to be killed.
I'm gonna go down and read the 25th chapter, verse 2, just to add to it. It says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever.
Amen. So God is our creator. He created us for a purpose. And for a reason. And that purpose and that reason could be found in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, which means for his own pleasure. It talks about God creating for his own pleasure. Now, when God creates and his creation goes against the Creator, then, of course, we know that that the wrath of God is going to come. But like you read in the 25th verse, who changed the truth of God. And that's the key. It goes back to that truth of God. What is true? Mankind says that a child, a woman with child, that child is not a person until it's born. That it's just a glob, or it's just tissue being formed. But that's a living tissue, which forms within the first 6 weeks. It has eyes, ears, fingers, hands, and feet. So we understand that the truth of God is that we were all created by God to love God and to serve God.
Amen. Well, right here, before I let Apostle Louis Young and the Devil's Advocate comment, I have another caller.
Okay.
I'm going to let him in on the line right now. Hold on. What's going on, Bill?
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
Going on, everyone on here. This is Billy Robinson right here on the line.
How y'all doing, everybody? How y'all feel?
How's it going?
All right.
Have you been listening? How long have you been listening to the show, Bill?
I just got on about 5 minutes ago, 3-4 minutes ago. Not long.
So since you've been listening, what type of thoughts have came in your mind starting out the beginning of this topic?
No, I'm just agreeing with what the gentleman was saying. I mean, I'm totally agreeing with that. You know, it's straight from the word. You can't go wrong with that. You know, he's speaking the truth. You know, it's even far even what he was saying about babies being born. You know, and I have a problem with that too. Not get off the subject and like that, but with abortion, you know, it's dead wrong. You know, that's a fetus. You know, you're taking a life. You know, but as far as the homosexual thing about, you know, he's on point with that. You know, I was just reading some scriptures before I got online about we were talking about Romans 26 and 27. You know, it's real deep about how, you know, it was a penalty for that. You know, it was, you know, it's just not right. You know, but yeah, you get a chance, open up the book and read that, man. It's heavy.
You're talking about the 26 and the 27 verse, right?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get, because we just ended at the 25th verse. We'll get to that probably a part of this show right here, man. But listen, you're on the line, you know what I'm saying? Listening right there. Whenever, you know, if you want to say something, you know what I mean, I'll go around and, or Aaron or Apostle Young, I ask someone, do they want to say something based upon what they're saying or anything like that, and we'll all get more involved in the conversation. But at this point right here, it's either up to Apostle Lewis Young or our brother Aaron, Devil's Advocate Bradley, to speak on what was just said. My brother Kevin L. Gabo, what he just spoke about.
All right.
So we need one of y'all to.
Like the brother was just talking about. 26 and 27, you have to keep on reading a little further. It says, for this cause, God gave them up to vile affection. It's vile. Now, I don't know about you or anybody else, but I don't want to stand before the Lord filthy and vile in his sight when the great getting up morning comes. You know, and it says, and they worship and serve the creature more than its creator, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and who were blessed forever, amen. For this cause God gave them up to the vile affections, for even the women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. Their natural use is to produce children, to be mother of children. And just to go on a little further before I go, it says, and likewise also men leaving the natural use of women, burning in their lust one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly. It's unseemly. And receiving in themselves a recompense of their error, which is me. So that scripture is clear. It's clear that they're going to be judged, those who reject the word of God for their own lust of their own hearts. It's going to be judged in the last days and have no part of the kingdom of God. Okay, Brother Jay, I'll call you tomorrow.
All right, man. Well, stay tuned in, bro. If you ain't taking it down yet, stay tuned in. Or if you ain't got to hang up, stay on the line, because the conversation going to go a little further. So stay on the line, man, if you ain't got nothing to do. But if you do, you know, it was a blessing to have you on just for that little segment right there. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And we appreciate it.
What time do I call tomorrow?
Tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
Okay, I called at 9 o'clock earlier today, and I said call at 10. So I'll give a call back tomorrow.
Okay. All right, bro. Thanks a lot, brother.
And bless you, men of faith.
Gotcha.
God bless you.
Apostle.
Yeah.
Devil.
Yeah, I mean,
what's going on?
How's it going?
What do you have to say, Bradley?
Well, I actually, since I will be
coming, in telling how the conversation is already going, everybody is actually agreeing. Everybody is agreeing with, you know, what they view the Bible to be saying as homosexuality is being wrong. So I would rather let everyone who actually takes that position to speak, and then I'll say what I say, you know, my part.
Okay. Apostle Young?
I'm not going to be long because, pretty, you know, it is what it is. God is a God of purpose. God is a God of order. All right. And I'm going to read this scripture here that's in Genesis. Genesis, the first chapter, starting at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female. Male and female. Created he them. And God blessed them. All right. God said unto them, hold on. God said unto them, be fruitful, meaning have children. For those that do not understand what be fruitful means, let me break that down. That means have children. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I'm going to stop right there because there's really no need to go further. A man and a man can't have kids. A woman and a woman can't procreate. There's no way in the world they're going to, as of now, right now, science has not figured out a way for a woman and a woman to have a baby without involving a man. Same for a male, two males having a child and not involving a woman. It can't happen. It won't happen. I can't say it won't ever happen because the way the mind of man is so corrupt and jacked up. I truly believe before it's all over with, they're going to come up with a way for a man to have a baby. Or a woman and a woman have a baby with no involvement of a man. But that is not the way God created this thing to be. And anything that goes against the law of God is an abomination. If it goes against the law of God, in the nature of God, it is a freak. It is an abomination. So, if you're asking me what my stand is on homosexuality, I'm not judging nobody. You're asking me what my stand is. My stand is, there's no way two men can flow as a couple and fulfill purpose. The purpose was for them to multiply and replenish the earth. So my saying is, it wasn't, God never meant for it to happen, so I don't stand for it, period. Now, if that's what you want to do, if that's what floats your boat, God bless you. But I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be in your position when it's time for you to stand in front of God. Because I'm letting you know right now, according to what this Bible says, according to what the Bible says, and I already know somebody's going to come on and say something, talking about what, you know, what about the people that don't believe in the Bible. I'm not here to talk about the people that don't believe in the Bible. I'm here to talk about what God says is right and what God is saying is wrong. It's an abomination. Period.
I'm done with it as far as right now. So you
okay.
Go ahead and let the advocate say whatever he's going to say. But
well, I'm going to say like this. My take on it, my take on it is like this. I believe in the word of God. I believe in what God's word says. And I believe that when man lays with man or woman lays with woman, you cut, that is actually cutting off the production of replenishing the world, which God totally spoke and said that's what he required, that's what he made. He wanted us to be fruitful. So according to the Bible, when you're supposed to be fruitful and you don't produce fruit, that thing that doesn't produce fruit becomes cursed. And God curses things that don't produce what it's supposed to produce or what he designed it for, because we're supposed to produce after our kind. Just like when you plant a tree, an apple tree, you know what I mean? The seeds from that tree, I mean, it's not like an orange tree is going to grow. They produce after their own kind. So God created man and woman to produce. So those are the things needed to actually produce the fruit that God requires, which are children that will one day grow up to produce after its own kind, and so on and so on. So I believe Minister Jay Miller on Dirty Church Radio, I agree that it is wrong in the eyes of God. And if it is wrong in the eyes of God, which I look at the word as truth, it is wrong to me. I'm not making that statement for anyone that may be gay right now. I want you to call in on a radio station. You may be fighting. You may be in that. You may have questions on it yourself or whatever. You might have something you want to say. You want to voice your opinion. Call into the Dirty Church Radio, whether you are. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you are, whatever you believe right now. This topic is bigger than what Minister Miller feels.
I think, too. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. What Minister Miller feels or whatever. I want to hear what people have to say on this topic. Don't talk about it, you know what I mean, when you have an opportunity right now to speak and voice something on this matter. And hold on before I let you go. I think that was Bill talking, and before the devil advocate comes, we have another caller in, and this is Dr. Everett Kelly. God bless you, man of God.
Bless you.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine.
Yes. I appreciate you calling in tonight, man.
Yes, sir.
Since you're on the call, I want to, every, you know, man, anyone that's calling in, I want to take advantage of the time. I don't know how long you actually have been listening to the topic, but the topic
just came on.
Just came on. So we've been talking about homosexuality, right or wrong.
Yes.
And we've been reading different scriptures concerning God's view and his point and his requirements and the standards he set for us to follow according to those that believe in his word and who follow his word when it comes to men laying with men and women laying with men. We was talking about God requires that man and woman be fruitful and multiply. And we were talking how it's not designed that man and man, they can't be fruitful, and woman can't be fruitful. So just that's a little quick run around from that point right there. So if you had anything you wanted to add to it or something that you can say, a seed that you can put here on Dirty Church Radio for all the listeners out there on this topic.
Well, thank you for all the listeners. I'm Dr. Everett Kelly from Trenton, Ewing, New Jersey, and I agree upon everything that's been said. I just came on the radio broadcast, and this is a very sensitive topic that we as Christians, believers, non-believers are hearing. And We cannot operate according to our feelings or emotions, but all operate according to the biblical principles of God. And I rest my case on that. But like I said, God created male and female to be fruitful and multiply. When you're talking about two men and two women, you're not being fruitful, but you're emotionally attached to discover, to maneuver in the way of your feelings and your emotions. If I know I'm probably get some call on that note, but basically that's where I stand.
Okay, Pastor Kelly. Okay. And one more thing on it, like this. Tonight, there are going to be many views on this topic.
Right.
Because
right.
Someone right now is even listening, and their feelings may be hurt just on what we said. But on
right.
Dirty Church Radio, it ain't about your feelings being hurt.
Right.
It ain't about right or wrong. We're trying to find and search for truth.
Truth.
Truth. What is truth? And we want to state truth on this show that it be so strong that whether you want to believe it or not, it'd be hard for you to argue it. You know what I mean? So
right, right.
And
so
even
on that statement, on that principle, we if we go back to the beginning, those, you know, I know it's controversial. A lot of people don't believe in the Bible, but, you know, giving on scripture, in the beginning, the first verse, I know you probably, I don't know if you read it, but just coming on, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning of time, in the beginning of creation, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and earth. Then you read through that chapter, and you say, let us make man in our own image. And then he began to explain. He says, I don't want man to be alone. I don't want man to be alone. So he created a woman to be with him. So this is God's plan. That's the beginning of God's plan. Many things have altered our society. Homosexuality has been in the beginning through the Bible. You can look at Sodom and Gomorrah. If you look at the case, they were married to Lot's wife, but then they refused to go out of the city with Lot, and they stayed back in the city of Gomorrah, which was very corrupt. It was doing everything from homosexuality to perversion to all different things. And people say, well, who told you that you can condemn a man or condemn a woman for this? Well, it's all biblical principles. I know we have feelings, we have emotions, we have a vast audience listening right now, and I'm talking about of 30, 40 years of experience of in the gospel, of preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I travel across the country, and these subjects are very, very sensitive, because many of the leaders don't want to attack it. Am I right, Brother Miller?
Yeah, I got you.
They don't like a touch, but we can't be afraid, because a lot of times people want to be free. And people want to change. People want to come out of situations, and they don't know how to come out of situations. How do I get caught up into this? How do I get involved in this? And many, it's many reasons, because of stress, because of hurts, because of loneliness, because of even abuse. As a young boy or young girl being abused, and then they draw up into a shelter. And if they feel the only way they can get comfort is through another woman or another man. So that's very controversial too. So I'm going to turn it back over to you, man.
So I want to ask this question, and this is
yes.
for anyone right here. When it comes to people who may say that I've been born this way, do anyone have any, when a person says I've been born this way, I didn't ask to be born. I didn't ask
no,
for
no,
this
well,
feeling.
Well, you know what? I mean, for a long time, I always said no one was born that way. But then you have some people who have a hormonal imbalance. Some people are born that way. They have to go to the doctor in order to get their hormones corrected, but some people don't get them corrected, and they have more, you know, female-type tendencies, you know, hormonal imbalance. I don't know if you ever heard of that before. Has anyone ever heard of that? Hormonal imbalance, where the female hormones are more dominant than the male hormones?
Yes, I've heard it.
So it is possible, you know, but for the most part, you know, that's like a rare condition, but it can happen. But for the most part, a lot of the guys out there, that's not the case. You know, they like that because they chose to be that way, or like our past colleague was saying, either they were abused. It was something that happened, some traumatic situation in their life that caused them to be that way. But sometimes it's just that they just want that lifestyle. They want to try it, and they try it, and they like it, and that's
right.
Except for that demon to come into their life, and now they can't kill it, can't get rid of it. They stuck with it, you know. Not that they stuck with it. They feel like they stuck with it, you know. But through, you know, if they want to get rid of it through prayer, and you know, prayer. Like I said, prayer, and they can get rid of the demon, you know.
Okay. Yo, we have a lot of callers on here. I'm gonna let another caller on here right now.
I have a question. Can I have a question though?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I want to ask the minister here. Like, I don't have a church. I'm not a pastor or anything like that. But I have a question, though, that really boggles my mind, and I can't understand why this goes on, especially in the black church. Why do homosexuals operate in the ministry? That's what I can't understand. You know, and a lot of times, no one says anything about it. It's not even, that's brother so-and-so. He's just a musical director, or he's just the organist. You know, that's not even a big issue. I never understood that.
Well, I can attempt to address that.
Okay.
First of all, it seems to me, and I've been in church all my life.
Yes.
I mean, I think I was born, and as soon as my mom had me, I was in church. So it seems to me that homosexuality was or is accepted easier in the church now than anywhere else.
That's true. Yeah.
And the reason that is because the church, and I'm not talking about the church of yesteryear. I'm not talking about the church of generals like Bishop Charles Mason. I'm not even going to sit here and try to name all the names. I'm talking about back in the day when the church had power.
Yes.
See, when the church had power, homosexuals and lesbians stalked 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times before they crossed the threshold of a powerful church. Because
right.
If they crossed the threshold of a powerful church, there's two things that either going to happen.
Right.
Or let me say one thing going to happen. Or one thing they was afraid of was, you know, two things: being exposed and then being delivered. See, sin didn't stay in the church when the church had power, because sin was exposed. And you had leaders that didn't lie exposing the devil when the devil showed. Now you got leaders that are leading under the auspices of exception, complacent, letting anything and everything go on in the house of God. You got gay deacons, you got gay trustees and handling the church's funds because the chairman of the deacon brings in the most tithes. Let him be the chairman because of the finances that he's bringing. See, it's all about compromising now. So, if somebody that's holding a position in the church is bringing all this money, they can live with the kind of lifestyle they want, because why? If they're paying the pastor to preach, they're controlling the pastor. So, if the pastor can't get up and preach like he wanted to preach about homosexuality or any other kind of sin that might be going on, they can come into the church and do what they want to do. That's why you don't see no signs. That's why you don't see no miracles. That's why the sick not being healed. That's why devils not being cast out. Because complacency and compromise is the sermon of the day.
That's right.
It's going to go from the big churches all the way down to the little churches. You got more fascists, lesbians, and conservative churches in these days than ever before. And it's a sermon before God, and it's been a complete mockery to the house of God. But the question should be, when is the church going to wake up and stand up? Not one will not be a man and pushing down the man of the woman of God that's speaking against sin, but dealing with the man of the woman of God that got the heart enough to stand up for what's right. See, what the church Lord is doing now, anybody that got the heart to stand up and preach right, they don't invite them to the church. Because they're saying, you're going to come in and stir up all my homosexuals, and my homosexuals is the one that's the word of the church. What kind of foolishness is this? I can't come and preach a word of deliverance because you're scared I'm going to run all the homosexuals away? What is that? What is that? It's called compromise, acceptance, and complacency. Get the homosexual off the organ and put us behind the altar.
Do you have your phone on speaker?
Right, it's real loud. It's distorted. Can I hear him?
Is your phone on speaker, Apostle Young?
Yes.
You got to take it off speaker.
Yes, because it's distorted.
Jay, I'm not sure, but how many people are actually waiting to be put
on? That's what I'm about to go to now. It's a few people on here that I'm gonna let one caller in right now.
All right.
Hold on.
And I would definitely like to speak. I know everybody, you know, is very, very anxious, you know, because they have a lot to say.
We waiting for you. What you gonna say? Hello?
Hello, am I on?
Yes, you're on. Who's calling?
It's Pastor Boone.
How you doing, Pastor Boone?
I'm doing all right. It's funny I've been on hold and I was listening to the conversation, and one of the things that really stand out to me is that we have to understand like the culture that's surrounding the church. When I think of a church, especially in America now, my mind really goes back to the Church of Corinth, because when Paul had to address certain issues in Church of Corinth, you have to understand that the city of Corinth was a very, very similar to a cesspool of sexual deviance, because you had different goddesses that they would worship, that they actually had prostitutes in the temple, and that culture is what they were saved out of. And just because you were saved, don't mean you're completely delivered, because there's some things that you bring that culture with you, and you have to somewhat be deprogrammed from that culture. In order to really walk into the things of God. That's why Paul said, be transformed by renewing of your mind. Do not conform to this world. Be transformed by renewing of your mind. Conform means be like, assimilate, become like, think like, do things like the world, like the culture that you were maybe raised in and God's trying to save you out of. I think the problem is, I agree with Apostle Young, and saying that the culture has changed in church, that we are becoming more accepting to certain things. And not just homosexuality. A lot of people pinpoint homosexuality as a big thing, and it is a big deal. It is a big deal in the church. It is an epidemic that's growing in the church. But there's other things that have been going on in church that kind of sometimes hinder the deliverance of homosexuality, because to be delivered, you have to feel free. You have to feel free. You have to feel open enough. Whereas, okay, I can be real with what I'm going through. Because I can be real and be honest about what I feel and about these urges that I'm battling with, and not feel judged about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and I think part of the problem is we have a lot of gossipers in church who have gossiping. And therefore, like, people who want to be delivered have a defense mechanism up, because their main thing is, okay, am I going to be talked about? Is my business going to be put out on Front Street because of what I'm struggling with, as if my sin is greater than your sin.
Your sin, yeah.
When in actuality, the thing that's called an abomination is sowing discord among the brethren, which God hates. So with that being said, when we look at sin, when we look at homosexuality, we got to look at sin as across the board. And I think a lot of times what happens is people who are homosexuals, a lot of times that is a generational curse. Sometimes they've been molested as they were children, and that was their first real experience with sex, and their whole orientation got messed up because their first introduction to sexual intimacy was with the same sex. So you have that incident. Do you have just like the transferring of spirits because of the culture that you're raised in? I mean, then you have the fact of the matter is that some people turn to homosexuality because they had sex with women so much that their sexual appetite becomes so deviant that they want to experience something new or try something.
Yeah, I heard that.
So with that being said, it's like you have all these different factors that are happening, and then you have a society outside of church that's saying, okay, it's okay. You have to understand, we're not just talking. Back then in America, you being a homosexual in America, you weren't even saved. We're not talking about people that were saved. We're not talking about people that were going to church. Just being a homosexual in America was frowned upon. In America. Now, America is not just only celebrating or accepting it, but they're now making a civil issue for them to have the same right to be married as a male and a female. They're making it a civil issue.
Can I actually chime in? I've heard everybody speak concerning the issue, and one thing I heard it was a proverb that someone said. I don't know who actually came up with the proverb, but they said, "If you want to see a good person do bad things, give them religion." And listening to everybody talk on this show, you know, everybody knows my position. I always take the opposing side of the ones who are ostracized. So I'm choosing to take on the beating of taking the defense of people who actually may deal with this issue. People who are lesbian and gay. But listening to you guys, whether you say that you're not actually judging, whether you say you're not actually, doing it in a very condescending way, because of your religion, what's the proverb I said, because of your religion, you have no choice but to be judging, but to sound very condescending, but to frown upon someone who is different from you dealing with sexuality. And you have every right to, because you're a human being and you have the right to like or dislike whatever you choose to. But Christianity as a whole, when it deals with certain things that it doesn't agree with, you have some modern Christians who actually can deal with the issue and actually learn how to accept it even through Christ, because you have to remember who did Christ actually speak to. He spoke to the ones who were ostracized. He spoke to the ones that were being condemned. He spoke to the least of the people. And in no kind of way did he speak the way you guys are speaking about homosexualities right now. He didn't speak like that about lepers. He didn't speak like that about anyone that was ostracized in society. And it kind of hurts to hear Christians talk the way they do, dealing with something that we deem, because the Bible has said that it's an abomination to God. Just think of all of the other things that God's seen as abomination. God also sees lying as an abomination. But we don't necessarily view that as an abomination. And we only view it when somebody brings it up, like I'm bringing it up right now. But we still don't see it as an abomination. There's so much to talk about this, dealing with the Bible's perspective and dealing with the nature of it and dealing with life and dealing with reality of it. And all of those things play a part into it. And since we're only coming from a Christian's point of view and a Christian's aspect, I would try my hardest not to bring any secular means of explaining homosexuality or trying to get people to better understand Christians, to better understand homosexuality. I take it from the way that you guys are talking, none of you are gay, correct?
Correct.
No.
No.
You're absolutely correct.
Okay.
But can I say this? If you have anything that can back up what you're saying, it's your job as the advocate to enlighten us. So don't say you're not going to do it. If you have something to say, just say it.
No, I will. But like I said, I want to come dealing with this topic straight, totally from the Bible, because I don't want it to be looked at as an unbeliever versus a believer. I don't want to do that. I want to come at it as a believer, someone who's actually a Christian, someone who goes to church on a regular basis who is gay, and they don't say I suffer from homosexuality. They say I'm gay. So I want to come from that perspective, because I don't want people to necessarily lose their faith or give up their faith just because you have some people that look at the Bible in its traditional interpretation of homosexuality. And if I just can allow people to look at it from a different aspect, look at it from a different perspective, just maybe, that proverb won't be true to a lot of us here tonight and many others. I know the first scripture that that your brother gave, Jay, he was actually talking about. It was in Genesis, I believe, in the beginning, God created.
And in Romans.
I'm not going to Romans, Jay. I'm doing it. Because I'm doing it from the beginning all the way to the back. Now, I believe that there are six scriptures pertaining to same-sex relations in the Bible. There's three in the Old, and there's three in the New. When we look at Genesis, and when God says that He created heavens and the earth, He created, the waters. He created the sky. He created the plants. He created everything. He also said He created man. When He said He created man, everything that He said He created, He said it was either good or very good. Until He said what? When He said that men should not be alone, that wasn't good. It wasn't good for man to be alone. Now, from a very traditional interpretation of the Bible, God created Eve. And when God created Eve, man was no longer alone. And we're talking about people who are heterosexual, who don't necessarily question their sexuality, because we live in a society where our sexuality as a heterosexual is not questioned. Now, I just want to say, in regards to homosexuality, I do not believe that it's normal. Do I believe it's wrong? Just coming from my perspective, just so I can get it clear, no, I don't think it's wrong. I don't think it's wrong in any form or fashion, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. Do I think that it's normal? No, I don't think it's normal in our society, and I do not think it's normal in other societies. But how about the men or the women that are gay and are lesbian? It's natural for them to feel the way they feel and to have the type of sexual desires that they feel. And when we talk about sex, dealing with the Bible, dealing with everything,
we always look at sex as something very lustful. We always look at sex as something only dealing with the actual act of it, like intercourse per se. But that's not. Excuse me.
No, Mike. I interrupt you, but you said this. I don't mean to cut you off, but you said something about you don't think being homosexual is wrong. You said, is that correct? Is that what you said?
Yes, I did say that. My personal opinion. Yes.
It's your personal opinion. Oh, that's your personal opinion. Yes. Okay. And now my question is, okay, is bestiality, is that wrong? It's still a sexual preference.
I would not consider bestiality the same as same-sex relationship.
Why not?
Because animals aren't people. That's why.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, that's your view. I don't argue with that one. Go ahead. What you got to say?
When we actually look at sex, a lot of times we look at lustful acts. And I believe when the Bible is referring to all of these sexual situations that occur in the Bible, every last one of them are viewed as a negative act. Somebody was doing it in a negative way. But it never talks about, within the Bible, from my knowledge of it, it never talks about a loving relationship. Not one time. Every single time it refers to talking about same-sex situations, it's always talking about in a very negative, lustful way. But you have to understand, there are people in this world that say, I don't want to have sex until I get married. And some of those people are actually gay and lesbian. But when they actually get married to whomever they choose to get married to, and since we're talking about people who are gay, they would like to get married to the same sex. It's not necessarily all dealing with sex. A lot of these situations and a lot of these people, they want loving relationships in the same way that a heterosexual couple would want a loving relationship. It becomes wrong in the eyes of religion and from what the Bible is viewed as being wrong is when a man actually has sex with another man or a woman actually has sex with another woman. But it doesn't say anything about a loving relationship between a man and a man or a woman and a woman. And if you can find it, please show me. And then, you know, I definitely have room to change my mind because I'm not closed-minded to any type of situation.
Well, you have to deal with it. I'm just trying to, like, chime in on that because when you talk about that aspect, Now, unlike, I don't know how any past history that any of you guys had with people, case maybe. Me personally, I had a best friend who struggled with homosexuality, who struggled with them tendencies. I also had a coworker who was a female, who I was cool with, cool people, nice person. But she was an all-out lesbian who was struggling with, who was actually like she was bisexual. So my perspective on things is more from a standpoint of where I've been in the company of, or close quarters or company with people who either struggle with this or were living that lifestyle.
I understand where you're coming from. But in the regards of struggling, usually people who actually struggle with this are either struggling because of one or two reasons. The first reason is because of religion. If you are in a religion who definitely disagrees with it and you are a part of that religion, then and that religion is saying is wrong, of course you're going to struggle with it. Another way you can actually struggle with it is the norm. And the norm basically is, homosexuality, for anybody, it isn't the easiest thing to deal with. I'm quite sure people who are gay, if they were to choose to be gay or to be straight, I'm quite sure most of them would choose to be gay, not because it's wrong, but because of
because of the judgment that comes with it, and because of the life that comes with it, it's very hard, it's very lonely. You become isolated. It's very difficult to find love. It's a very, very hard life to deal with. It's a very hard lifestyle to deal with, especially in our culture. No matter if it's accepted or not, I'm going to give you an example. Whether you agree with it or not, it's true. Whether you would like to relate to it or not, it's true. We as African Americans, if everybody's African American on this show, we as people, we were put in the same position that homosexuality, women, any type of minority, especially in America. I don't even want to talk about anywhere else, just in America alone. We have dealt with being on the lower end of the stick, being ostracized, being condemned. And at one point in time, black people were not considered to be human. We were actually considered to be by birth sinful because we were black. And it was actually backed up in the Bible because slave owners taught black people this. Until society changed, and until society changed, we viewed, or America viewed, being an African American is to be wrong. Look in the dictionary. Everything that has the word black on it is very condescending. And it's because of the society that we live in. And now we have come to the place where we are not as ostracized. We are not looked upon as wrong. People still feel as though it's not normal, because some people feel as though a white person and a black person should never be in a relationship together. Having white and black babies isn't normal, and it's an abomination to God. People still believe that. But you will look at them and say they're totally wrong for doing that, because you actually experience being ostracized. But since nobody is gay on this radio show,
hold that thought one second. We got some other callers calling in,
okay.
And I want to hear some other people. But just hold that thought right here, one second.
I'll stop right there and I'll let the other caller.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Doing pretty good.
I see you listening to the show. You got anything you want to say?
Yeah, I was listening to what you said. I like how you're giving it a fair and balanced viewpoint, but ultimately, I personally believe homosexuality is isn't a black and white thing. It's a pretty gray moral ground there where I think really a lot of the problems with homosexuality comes from the fact that the way that they make love isn't considered to be a natural way, with vaginal penetration being the norm. And I think the problem is that people don't really have the sexual openness to discuss whether or not that their way of making love is correct or not.
I definitely can see that. And just to make light on what he's saying, not necessarily what he just said, but it was something that was said earlier and between everybody who all of you said it, the callers that's on right now,
like,
you guys said it. Basically, you guys said it.
I was thinking that, like, if you examine the way that normal people would do it, or the way they do it, that their dirty, spicy Mexican butt sex just isn't normal. But, like, if you were to look at, like, pure vaginal sex, where there's love juices in all the right areas, as opposed to anal fecal matter going into condoms, I think it's way better than what is normally considered to be the norm. So, like, for instance, you can get plenty of nasty diseases and viruses if you don't cover up properly the anal sex, but if you do it normally, you'd only run the risk of having HPV or just a few other fluidly transmitted diseases, which should all be avoided by condoms in the long run, but still, you always run greater risk during dirty, spicy butt sex.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Yo, this is Dirty Church Radio. This is what I'm talking about, man. We want people to call in, regardless of what's what their thoughts are on the matter like this. Let me ask you this. What do you feel, what do you truly feel when it comes to homosexuality, you as an individual?
Being the fact that I'm a gay man and I'm just a normal heterosexual man, I can't speak for the entire gay community, but I will anyways. I'd just like to say that, personally, I think homosexuality isn't really that bad. It's just a lot of people who have a negative opinion of it because of the way they're raised or whatever, their religious views. I couldn't care less whether or not you have anal sex with another man. But I do think it's a problem when you start having parades in the middle of my street because, like, I live on Ocean Boulevard in California, and every time there's a gay pride parade, I just get so tired of it. It's like, yeah, we know you have sex with other guys. I don't want to hear about it at 7 in the morning when you're wearing pink tutus and you have face paint on and you have, like,
like dude, I don't like this, dude. I like him. I just want to make a point that everybody said earlier that because God made man and woman to actually procreate the world, by men and women not doing that, they are not actually fulfilling God's purpose, which men and women are supposed to do. The only thing that I would have to say about that, that puts a lot of people in a strain, and that condemns a lot of people because there are people in this world, male and female, that actually can't have kids. There are men who are actually impotent, and there are women who are actually childbearing and can't have children. What do you say about people? What
okay.
do you say about
can
those?
I, can
those
I answer
oh,
that?
Wait, hold on. What do you say about those people? And the reason
oh, well,
why
let me answer that though, right there.
I will answer. Wait, I'm not finished.
No, but you might lose.
What happens
he
is,
might lose
wait, what happens is, because
you keep going
is,
on and on.
You no, listen.
I'll let you guys talk for almost an hour. Come on,
but
we still no, but we
so,
still going on talking.
Listen, listen, listen.
Like, you got 1 hour.
Hey,
right
my
now.
Thing is, my thing is. You
sorry,
will have a conjunction in there. You
Hello?
Will say but. You will say except.
Yes.
And the reason why you would actually do that is because that makes more sense to you than
Please
someone who is actually suffering from homosexuality.
Hello? Hold on. We got another caller, too. We got another caller.
Are
so
you
hold
kidding
on.
Me?
One second. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, how are you doing?
I'm blessing you.
Good, good. Anything you need to say tonight on Dirty Church Radio concerning this topic?
It's a lot of things I want to say, but I'm going to try to keep it simple. In regards to the people who are impotent or the women who cannot bear children, we're all an extension of our family, which is the whole point of there being man and woman. If you feel condemned because you're doing otherwise, it's not the word that's condemning you. You're condemning yourself.
Thank you.
We're here to serve him. It's not about you. It's not about your flesh. It's not about what you think, feel, or want to assume. It's all about the Lord. That's why we're here. He made you, point blank. And if your womb is tied up or you can't get it up, it's because there's something operating in you that needs to come out of you. And when you break through that, then you'll have, you know, the ability to do what you need to do, which is what God put us here for, to make an exception of
the
family. Did you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, I believe we all heard you. I heard you.
Yeah, I just want to say that.
But that's coming from me, as a Christian, as someone who lives by the word and believes in the word. Someone who feels or believes differently may not understand that.
Well, I want to just chime in a little bit because I think as we as Christians, we have to find a way to explain what we believe. Explain
right.
the truth of what we believe in a way where it appeals to the logic. Because to be quite honest, sex was created really the source of sex was meant to show the symbolic of the oneness of male and female. It's really the physical manifestation of a oneness that was developed before Adam even, before Eve was even took out of Adam's rib. It was from Adam's side. It's a symbol of oneness between a man and a woman, which is the image of God.
Right.
The image of God is male and female. Now, brother Aaron, who's being devil advocate, is talking more say from a social standpoint. My thing to that is, it becomes this is a spiritual matter, and it's hard for someone who's not spiritual to understand.
It's not a spiritual matter.
It's a moral spiritual matter. Because it's spiritual to us as Christians, but it becomes moral to those who are in the world. It's a moral matter to someone who's not a Christian.
Not spiritual, nor is it moral at all.
I feel like people, for those that are Christians, they should. I feel that some people should be more passionate about speaking on it when it's necessary. Don't let the ignorant always be ignorant right in your face. You just can't do that. If you're going to set out to save somebody's soul, you have to let them know what's going on so they can build their faith, so they can learn.
I have another caller that's been waiting for a minute. I'm going to let them on, and then Apostle Young is going to chime in. What's going on, caller?
Hello. Good evening. This is Mr. Ex-Catholic. I guess tonight, out of everybody listening and on the phone, I'm probably the most heterosexual person out here, in my opinion. But tonight, I put myself in the gay man's role, and I've been listening to what everybody's been saying and putting myself in a gay man's role. I am the gay man tonight, basically. And it's just absurd to me what a lot of people said about, like, the whole how gays are not, you know, accepted in Christianity. And from what I've been listening to, like, a lot of people are quoting Proverbs from, like, you know, the Old Testament. And from my understanding, Christ died for our sins. And as far as the Old Testament goes, sodomy was considered a sin, okay? But Christ died for our sins. So, you know, in God's eyes, you know, I'm forgiven for my sin as a gay man. You understand?
So you're saying you can keep doing it.
You repent and don't do it again.
We already had this conversation about recurring sins.
But the reason I have to say that because, like, what he's saying, though, we just want to make that clear because everyone didn't.
I mean, I definitely understand where you're coming from. That's why I say it's not a spiritual nor is it a moral thing. Because Christian's morality is based on Christian ethic. And you can't necessarily speak from a Christian ethic. You can't do that. Now, I actually know that we are Christians, and a lot of us can only speak from a Christian aspect because we're not open-minded to speak from anywhere else. But you have to realize that this is not a Christian problem at all. It's not.
We never said that.
No,
the topic of the show is homosexuality, right or wrong. What happens is
people actually say, which I heard a caller say, that it's a spiritual and it's a moral thing, and it's not. Because it's only spiritual and moral based on Christian views.
Okay. Can I say something?
Go ahead.
All right. Number one, Aaron, you said that God said that lying is an abomination.
I sure did.
That's not true.
Okay, I'll actually get it for you.
Yeah, please do. The only time abomination, and hear me out, only time abomination is used when it's speaking about a specific sin, is about homosexuality.
Hold on.
I'll name some for you.
Wait a minute.
Justifies the wicked, can condemn the righteous, are both alike an abomination to the Lord. I can read some more for you.
Okay. You said lies.
Are both No. You just said, according to what you just said, you said it only talks about abomination when it's talking about same sex. And I'm telling you right here, it says in Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. I rest my case when it comes to that point.
Okay, all right,
Can I just say something? Does anybody understand that Jesus hates the sin but loves the sinner? So that's saying
that
nobody's bashing anybody. I have a best friend that I grew up with since childhood, and he is a homosexual, and I do love him. I know that what he's doing is wrong, and
exactly.
I do hate the sin and not the sinner. What's right is right,
yes.
What's wrong is wrong.
You're judging him.
I let him know how I feel, but I love him no less. I don't beat him upside the head. I don't call him out of his name. I don't disrespect him.
You do call him out of his name.
I wasn't finished. All right. Now, when you say that it's not a spiritual issue.
Cleared up lying, right? I just want to know for all those callers, we just cleared up lying, right? So now you can say lying is an abomination.
I just said you were correct on that.
Okay.
Can I move on now?
Yes, you can.
All right. First of all, and this is my opinion,
mm-hmm.
people that have a problem with Christians spiritualizing immoral acts and saying that it's not spiritual, 9 times out of 10, they're saying that because they do immoral things themselves.
Wow.
All right. So it's easy for a person that might not be in homosexuality, but they're a fornicator, to defend a homosexual and say sin is sin.
We all know
that sin is sin, all right? That's not what we're talking about on the phone tonight. The topic is, hold on.
Yeah, you're right.
The topic is homosexuality. So all this other stuff about lying and all this other stuff has nothing to do with the topic. All right. So let's try to stay on topic. That goes for me and everybody else on the phone. The topic is homosexuality, and what we need to be discussing is whether or not it's right or wrong.
I think that everybody stayed on topic because some people made claims of homosexuality being an abomination. Some people make claims of homosexuality being a spiritual thing because it's actually demonic force. Some people, so you have to make issue to those points that people made. So I think we are on topic when it comes to that.
Okay. That's your opinion. I don't agree with that because, you know. So I just wanted to interject that before because there's a lot of people on the line. And for to be fair to everybody that's on the line, we need to make sure when you make your comment, let your comment stay on point and stay on topic.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
All right. So we're not talking about lying and we're not talking about all this other stuff that somebody else might, because let's nip that in the bud. All right, already know that all sin is sin, but we're not talking about all sin. We're talking about homosexuality tonight.
That's the topic.
Homosexuality. Right.
I just want to make light of the Mr. X Classic only referred to homosexuality and mentioned in the Old Testament, but it's actually in the New Testament as well. I just wanted to make light of that.
That's right.
Yes.
Thank you. Because
yeah,
I was going to say the same thing.
Oh, I was going to get to that, too. Yes, we always going to get to that.
Yeah, I understand that it's in the New Testament. But see, my understanding is that, like, you, as a Christian, you love, you would have to all agree on here to say that even though somebody you know might be a gay person, that you love them or accept them in your Christian faith, just like you would accept someone who has different transgressions, who has different sins. You would have to accept a gay person the same exact way.
Mr. Ex-Catholic, I hear what you're saying. We're not talking about whether we accept them or not. The topic is it right or wrong?
And
I could be a drug dealer, right? I could be a drug dealer and getting money. You can say what I'm doing is bad, but you can accept what I'm doing, especially if I'm buying you stuff, and what I'm doing is working for you. But it can still be a bad thing.
Coming from the perspective of the Bible, like I said, the traditional view of us interpreting in the Bible, it is frowned upon. But it's only frowned upon within the context of what the Bible is talking about. And I said, when they're talking about homosexuality within the Bible, it is talking about a very condescending, negative way. If you look at Sodom and Gomorrah, they didn't shed light in Sodom and Gomorrah on homosexuality. It was one situation where they referred to when they were talking about Lot. That's what they were referring to when the story in Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you read the story and you do some history on the story, the men during that time, actually what they did, these were men of war. And a lot of times within war, how people would humiliate other people, they would actually rape men. They wanted to rape the men that was at Lot's house. So instead of Lot giving these men up, Lot actually did another sinful deed. He gave his daughter, his virgin daughter, he suggested to give these virgin daughters to the man. I don't know how morally correct that is, but hey, if you believe that, so be it. But not only that, that in that story is looked upon as something of a painful act where men were trying to rape other men. When it talks about in Leviticus, it was referring to the Levites, how the Levites could not do certain acts based on their tradition, based on their laws, based on the way they had to live their lives. So in the Bible, like I said, if someone can show me where it talks about a loving relationship between a man or a man or a woman or a woman is wrong, let me know. Because in the Bible, like I said in the beginning, it says about Genesis how it wasn't good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. Okay, that's all for all the heterosexual men.
So in Genesis, it actually talks about
how it's not good for man to be alone. And that's dealing with someone who's heterosexual. How about someone who's actually gay? Is it right for them to be alone? God said it isn't right for them to be alone.
Let me correct you.
I want Jay to say what he has to say, and then anybody else that wants to come in, they can actually, you know,
first
say
of all,
what they need to
let
say.
Me this right here. When God created man, right, mm-hmm. He said it's not good for man to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
Who did he make for man, according to the word
exactly.
of God?
Exactly. Why he make another man?
Like who did
he
make for man?
But I'm telling
no,
you.
He made Eve. All right. So
for heterosexual
so
men,
you're trying to flip this and say that if a man is alone,
he's gay.
No, he's saying that God made homosexual and heterosexual men.
But hear me out, people. When God,
I'm saying
when the
a
Bible
man with another man is still alone according to God.
But you got to send this.
No, it's not.
You got to send the word good as God is using it in the Hebrew. He's not using it as good as far as saying it's a universal good. He's saying it's not desirable. It's not desirable for man to be alone. And be quite honest, nobody wants to be alone. But to be quite honest, at times it's good for you to be alone. Sometimes it's good to be by yourself. Because sometimes sometimes being around other people and being with other people is that me? Is that me?
Yes.
I mean, Paul
coming from a heterosexual way. Yes, it is. It is good. But you're not talking about. You're not gay. You don't understand what it is to be
gay. No. Hear me. I was saying, Paul was celibate. Paul didn't have a wife
because Paul chose to.
Okay,
because Paul didn't have a penis.
Okay, Paul didn't have a penis. He did. He had a penis. He was a man, and he chose to be celibate. It's not desirable. No one chooses to be. No one in the natural right chooses to be alone.
Exactly. My point. You said Paul was. There are some people who actually choose to be celibate.
But what about
women who do not choose to be celibate? You're saying the only place that a gay man has in this society is to be alone.
No.
That's what you're saying.
No,
yes, it is.
Aaron, that's not what I said. I ain't said that was the only choice. Because you chose to be gay. You chose to be gay. You're not born.
Wait. No. Don't make statements you can't necessarily prove. Are you gay?
Okay.
You've been making statements all night. You can't prove shit.
I'm talking about from a personal perspective. Are you gay? And if you aren't gay, you cannot say whether a person chooses that lifestyle or not. You can't say that. Because a lot of times, in a lot of cases, it's not the case. And since you are saying that everyone is born in sin, if everyone's born in sin, then that means that there are some people who are actually or could be born certain types of ways. Since we're coming from a spiritual aspect, or since you want to
be so
spiritual.
That means they need to be born again then.
Yeah. Exactly. Whether somebody's born again or not, it doesn't take away their feeling. It doesn't take away anything. You can
but
say that.
But you're
it
in the flesh
good.
When you're in that manner. You are in the flesh. You have to come up out of it.
You're always in your flesh.
Well, can I ask a question right quick? Real quick. Let me ask you a question, Aaron.
Yeah.
Because all night you've been saying that according to the Bible, Bible this, according to the Bible that. Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What if we had a Quran, right, and the Quran says explicitly that homosexuality is an abomination? What would you say then?
The Bible says explicitly homosexuality is wrong.
Oh, but that's not the question. I just asked you, just in case you didn't hear me. I said,
I would say the same thing I'm saying about it, but I necessarily can't speak on. I necessarily can't speak
on
the Quran because I don't know.
This is my point. All right. If 90% of the people on this phone, if all they have as a definitive book to go by is the Bible, what other book can you recommend? All right. What other book can you recommend for us to get definitive answers about the case of homosexuality?
You can actually read up on the American Science of Psychology. You can actually read up on the American Society of Sociology and what it actually says in these books. It actually says. In the 60s, they actually did a study to say that homosexuality is not a mental disorder. In the 70s, they actually reproofed it and said that they know that homosexuality is not a mental disorder. Then they also said in 94, they said for people who actually try to change homosexuals into heterosexuals, it usually messes them up 10 times more than what they were prior to. So
okay,
you want to read something, you can look up those facts.
So let me ask you this.
Like I said, we're just going off of the Bible. I didn't want to go into any
other
book.
Well, that's why I asked the question. All right. Now, this is the next point. What do you say to that homosexual? Because there's thousands of them out there. I know some myself. What do you say to that homosexual that
that sounds racist?
Huh?
No, go ahead. I'm just
What do you say to that homosexual, right? That was a diehard homosexual until they came to the church, and then was able to completely give up homosexuality and become a straight diehard heterosexual.
I don't know what to say to them because I'm not them. I don't know.
Okay. Well, do you believe that a person that was once homosexual? Do you believe that it's possible for them through spirituality, because the only cases that I know of for a person that was a diehard homosexual to say now they don't no longer have the desire or the taste for the homosexual lifestyle. The only that didn't happen from them going to a psychologist. It didn't happen to them going to a psychotherapist. It didn't happen from them popping a pill, and now they went from being gay to being heterosexual. It happened through the realms of the spirit.
Okay,
what do you say to that person?
What I would say is, if that's what you say, then I have to believe you. And I'm not going to make judgments on you, but from my experiences dealing with or knowing people that are gay, knowing people that are in the church who are gay, knowing people that actually sustain from being gay because of their religion, and then even all types of other sins that the Bible deems to be so wrong. But since we're talking about homosexuality, I'll stay on.
Yes, please. Yeah, please do that.
So what I would actually, well, what they tell me is, even though they may not act on their homosexuality, and even though they're forced to be by themselves and they're forced to be alone, it's not a choice, it's they're forced to, because of their religion, and they love their religion so much, and they hate to be, you know, neglected, they say, even though I have these desires, and even though these desires still come up, and even though I would never be able to be in a loving relationship with another man or woman saying it toward another woman, they say, well, that's something that I'm going to have to deal with if I continue to be a believer in the faith that I'm at.
So, in other words, what you're saying is it is virtually impossible for someone that was a homosexual to come to a spirit-filled church, get totally delivered from homosexuality, and embrace a heterosexual lifestyle. According to what you're saying, that's impossible.
Now, according to what I just said, if everybody else heard me, I did not one time say it was impossible.
That's
I'm
what you just said.
No,
that's
I did
what
not.
You just
only,
okay. Okay.
I don't
you
know
just
where
said,
you get your hearing
you
from,
just
but I did
said,
not say it. I did not say it's impossible for someone to do. I said if that's what they said, then I have to believe what they say. I
but then
not.
You said. Then you said.
Mm-hmm.
That it was virtually. You said even though they might confess that with their mouth, but they're suppressing it because of being a Christian.
I didn't say that. I did not say that.
Okay.
Maybe I'm hearing
something that nobody else is hearing.
You are.
Okay.
And
my
thing.
Hold on. We have another caller. We have another caller calling in right now. Hold on 1 second. He's been holding for a minute. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Yes. How are you doing?
Hi. How are you? Hi,
good,
everyone.
Good.
Hello.
Hello.
I was just to finish, and then Nicola can say something. I was only referring to people that I actually know who actually told me this. I can't speak for them. I can't speak for anybody else at that matter. I only can speak from what people tell me personally, and that's what I've been told.
Okay.
Very, very close family members.
Okay.
Okay,
well,
Carl.
And you can't speak for them either because they're not on the line. So, I mean...
No,
well,
I'm not speaking for them. I'm not speaking for them. The only thing I'm doing is telling you what they told me. That's all I'm doing.
Okay. All right.
Okay, caller. You want to say on this topic, or you've been listening?
Yeah, actually, I just wanted. I'm going to say something brief, and then I'm going to go ahead and just get off the line. But I've actually been listening for a while, and I know that there's pastors on the line, there's Christians on the line, you know, and then we have the devil's advocate, you know, talking in regards to, or actually, you know, defending the homosexuality or taking that position. I'm a Christian, and all I want to say is that if I were gay and I were listening to this broadcast, I don't even know why I would want to be Christian. And I'm going to tell you why, because there is so much hostility just in the tone. There's just, it almost sounds as if there's hatred for this type of act.
and our purpose as Christians and leaders of the church, just like the other pastor said when he first came on, is that this is a sensitive subject. Our job as leaders, right, is to be able to help those people that are suffering from this or from whatever they're going through and help them to understand that Jesus died for them and what the purpose of Christianity is. But if I was gay and I'm listening to this show, I would be like, why would I even want to be like you? Like, that's even with the tone and the manner that you guys are speaking in, you guys are speaking as if, like, you know, this was like, you know, they murdered somebody or something. These are souls and people that we're talking about. You have to be sensitive, and even if you do believe what the Bible says, which you should, your approach should be completely different. Your approach, there would be no reason why I would want to be a Christian just listening to you.
And
I'm gonna keep it 100. Everybody has this nasty attitude. Why would I want to be?
Hold on.
I want
to
be a Christian.
Speak up for everyone that I have on this show right here. You gotta understand.
Uh-huh.
This is Dirty Church Radio. All
right. Right.
And listen, I allow anybody to call in on this radio show, regardless of what their faith is.
No one is
mm-hmm. on this show gay bashing. No one is doing anything like that. We are saying what the Word of God says. And first of all, some of the fellas that's on here, when they talk, whether we was talking about football or anything, when we talk, we get excited. That's why this conversation mm-hmm. like this don't take place in church where people get offended. This is Dirty
Church Radio.
So I'm saying to all the listeners
out
there.
I understand what your purpose is because I'm actually a long-time listener.
If you're calling, if you're listening to this show, I'm saying
mm-hmm.
this now. This show is not for the sensitive. This show is for those that are willing to go where truth may take them, whether it hurts or not. We try our best not to offend nobody or anything. This is Dirty Church Radio, just in the topic alone.
That's understandable, and I'm actually a long time listener, and I'm also someone who knows the word, okay? But I'm also someone, and it's not about being sensitive. It's about being real. What's your job as a Christian? Your job as a Christian is to do what? It's not to judge. It's not to sit here and say, oh, well, you know, they're going to, this is whatever. I mean, come on. Our job as Christians and as leaders, right, is to help people understand, and then to bring them or help them navigate them into the into knowing who Jesus is. Jesus would have actually probably hung out with homosexuals. He hung out with prostitutes. He hung out with other people.
I
mean, come on.
We are aware of that. I'm gonna tell you something like this: the average Christian radio show.
Nobody's actually sitting there saying, you know what? These are people too.
Where can you go at?
That's what devil's advocate
is trying to tell you. Can you go to your church and have this discussion with people who may be Buddhist, people who may have all that?
Uh huh. Yes, because actually I'm open-minded like that.
No,
I'm that
what
type
I'm saying,
of person.
But when you go to church, do you get a chance to actually have an opportunity to talk with people that believe different and look at things different?
Yes.
Because the same way when we're on this show and people call in and they say Christian this and Christian that and Christian that, we have to sit there and listen and take it in too. Regardless
mm-hmm.
of how they're saying it or the tone that they're using, and they people
calling in
and be passionate.
I apologize. I have a question. I'm sorry. I have a question for the other woman caller that called in.
Yes.
Okay. My question to you is, I'm guessing that you are heterosexual, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You love men, correct?
Yes.
Okay. my question to you is, how does it feel being straight?
I don't understand what you mean. How does it feel being straight? I've always been straight, so I really couldn't tell you how it feels. It's just me being me.
Okay. With that being said, that's showing me, in the same regards about you not being able to necessarily explain how it feels to be normal,
right.
Because you would be considered yourself as being normal because you don't question
right.
your sexuality.
The same way
someone who's gay says the
uh-huh.
same thing. If you were to ask them, how do you feel being gay? And they would say, well, and the reason why I'm saying this is because I've actually asked gay people this. And, as a matter of fact, they are the ones that told me this. They shed this light on me because I didn't understand that first. But in the
mm-hmm.
same regard, the way you answered it is the same way they answered it. It's normal to them. It's
you know,
normal
I never stopped
to
ask my friend that question in that manner. I never stopped to ask any, but it's I see it like this. I see what you're saying, but it's like I may not be homosexual, but there are other things. Like I used to smoke cigarettes. I used to curse a lot. There's a lot of other things that I used to do, and as I got more into the word and I became more spiritual, the things that I felt that I realized were wrong and that I learned were wrong, I changed those things. Like I said, with my friend, I don't beat him over the head about it. If he wants to discuss it, I'll pull a book out and we'll go over it. You know, we'll pull out what we need to pull out and we'll discuss it. But I never say, oh, you're going to hell, you're wrong, or, you know, you're this, you're that. I don't do that. Like
okay.
I said, I grew up with him. I love him. He is who he is. And
Jay,
he's ready to be delivered
yeah.
from it. That's going to be on him.
Can I say something right quick?
Yeah, and after you say something, I want to answer what she just said.
Okay. Let's bring some sort of clarity to this here. Number one, all right. We're not saying on this phone, this is to the real excited young lady that was on the phone, we're not saying by no means that...
Stated that at the beginning of the show.
Huh? Yeah, well, I'm going to say it again.
Yeah,
we're not saying that a homosexual don't have a right to praise God.
Everything that breathes has a right.
We're not saying that a homosexual can't come and enjoy the benefits of serving the God that we're talking about on this phone tonight. All right, so let's be clear with that. All right, we're discussing right and wrong. And it's basically we're giving scriptures, then we're giving opinion. All right, number two, the Bible says, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. All right. We're not saying that we don't love homosexuals because before you can clean a fish, you got to catch them first. So we don't want nobody that might be listening on this broadcast tonight to think that we don't love homosexuals. We just got to love the person and whatever the sin is that the person is doing, express to them we don't agree with what they're doing. But we can't be Christians and don't show love, number one. All right.
All right.
But you still have to express what's right and what's wrong.
Well,
okay.
You know,
What I would have to say concerning what you just said, and then I'm going to answer the lady.
And then I'm going to say something because we got
okay.
a few minutes left until we go into the bonus section of the show.
Okay. Dealing with what you just said, for you to even say that we have to catch the fish before we clean it is a very condescending statement comparing it to homosexuals because you're basically saying that they need to be clean. What I'm saying is they, on the other hand, don't need to be clean. From your perspective, they do need to be clean. They read the same Bible and say they don't need to be clean because they look at it, as well as you look at it, from different perspectives and different contexts. Now, whether you're right, whether they're right, makes no difference. I'm going to tell you why it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make a difference because if you can't judge them,
The only thing you can do to them is give them and show them the love of Christ and the love of God. By you sitting here saying that, yes, we love the saint, but we don't love the sinner, it's kind of very, very hard to distinguish.
That is not what I said.
No,
that is not what I said.
I did not say you said that.
Use that. Like, don't say stuff like that to make people, like the young lady calling here, think that we saying something like that. Like,
scenario. I've heard that numerous people on the phone. Okay, let me word it different then.
Yeah, word it different.
Same thing, but just let me word it different to make you guys happy.
No,
what I will say is, you guys actually said that you don't necessarily, you love the person, but you don't necessarily love the sin that they're doing. Or God loves the person, but God doesn't necessarily love the sin.
Right.
Okay.
That's what
basically
I said.
Basically,
no, no, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's
not.
Because you said, you said.
Listen. I apologize.
Yeah.
I just corrected it.
Yeah, correct.
I just corrected it. So with that being said, I'm saying there's no difference, especially dealing with someone's sexuality. And the reason why there's no difference dealing with someone's sexuality is because sexuality a lot of times depicts a person. Like I asked the young lady, she doesn't question her sexuality because it's normal to her. It is the norm. It just so happens to agree with the way she interprets the Bible. Gay people, they don't question their sexuality because it's the norm to them. Now, I can actually go into some scientific tests and some scientific facts, but I don't even want to take it there. Let's just stay totally, strictly Bible. Let's stay totally, strictly spiritual stuff. And if that's the case, with that being said, gay people do not look at themselves as being wrong. It's only when they look at themselves through the lens of Christianity or any other type of religion is when they find themselves wrong.
The things that I did in my life, I didn't see it as wrong because I grew up in it and I lived it every day. So having a foul mouth, cussing, smoking, whatever, that to me was okay. And anybody who looked at me any other way, it was like, you don't know what you're talking about. This is me. I'm a do me. But I came into something else.
But
so
my question to you
is, I learned better. I'm not saying you need to learn better or anybody, you know, in your own time or in their own time. But you said, the show
I'm tell you something.
Right, homosexuality, right or wrong. This is what I've learned by reading the Word.
When we come on here and we come from the Scripture point of view, what the Word of God says, we're declaring what God said. So if God says something concerning homosexuality, right, and our faith is in God, and we say what God said, and we're on Dirty Church Radio and we say that, it doesn't make us the judge. We're saying what the Creator said. We are just the creation. And just
no, you are interpreting. I apologize.
No. But this is what I'm saying. But you got to understand the angle that we're coming from. We believe in God, and we understand on this show that everybody does not believe in God. Everyone believes in different gods or different ways of God, different faiths. We understand that, all right? But we are saying we representing the view of God. You are representing the view of man or how man feels on the
show. No, I'm not.
Yes,
no, I'm
yes
not.
You are. Yes,
no,
you,
I'm not.
Yes, you
I
are.
I told you the view that I'm taking. And I am not viewing. I'm not giving you the view of man. I'm giving you the view of a Christian, a Christian who doesn't agree with your point of view of homosexuality being wrong. That's the view I'm taking. I said, I'm coming from a Christian point of view.
But is that Christian? Hold on. We're going to take this over to the next round. To all the live listeners that right now are on the radio, except the ones on the caller, you won't be able to hear the rest of this conversation until you go into the archives. I pray that everyone just goes in and listens to the rest of this conversation. This is our bonus section of the conversation. So all of y'all that live listeners right now, be blessed.
and stay tuned for the next episodes that will be coming up. God bless you. Good night. Now listen, what I'm saying is like this, all right? The views we on here, we speaking of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
We start from the Bible, right? We represent what God represents, his word. That's why we're saved. We believe God saved us, Christ died for us. He changed us. He forgave us for our sins. So now we live our life, we're trying to take heed to what God's word is saying. And in God's word that we believe in and our faith in speaks against sin. And it makes references towards sin. All sin is sin, but sins are named in the Bible of what's wrong. And it's so crazy that, like, if you read the Bible and you say you're a Christian or you believe in Christ and he saved you, for someone to be like, God doesn't speak against that sin. Like, I mean, it's kind of hard to not say that. Like, you know what I mean?
Jay, everything you're saying, I understand. And I agree with everything that you're basically saying. What I'm saying is I am taking another Christian view and a Christian point of the very same topic we're referring to. I have two points. First point is, can you find me a scripture where it talks about a loving relationship between the same sex being wrong? Now, I said, in the scriptures, it's referring to very condescending ways dealing with homosexuality, rape, and lust. It's not dealing with loving relationships in any type of ways that dealing with loving relationships between two people. Now, my other thing is,
you just said what you just said about a loving relationship, and I'm just asking you in your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say when two men lie together, and I'm not saying, because I know you're going to say it's not just about the sex or whatever like that. I'm saying the loving relationship that you say two men have, and they're affectionate, and they spend time together, they love each other, they communicate, they talk, they go on trips together, they do whatever. They do everything in relationship that heterosexuals do with a woman, whatever like that.
Mm-hmm.
When a man lays with a man, that's a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying that you believe that the God that they said gives them their salvation, are you saying he believes in the love that they have for each other that takes them to that place of intimacy?
Okay, I'm telling you.
It's like,
off.
Is that the...
To answer your question, what I believe is totally different from what I think. Now, what I believe... I do believe, actually, God does condone loving relationships, whether it's with men or whether it's with female.
No, but I'm saying,
I don't know, because I do not know the mind.
Do you call a loving relationship? Like, I mean, like, give me the definition of the loving relationship. What are you talking about? Are you just talking about two guys that are friends?
I'm talking about a loving relationship in the manner of the reason why you get married. Did you get married to have sex with it? Did you only get married to have sex with your wife?
No.
Exactly. So in that regard, I'm talking about a relationship. If you didn't get married to only have sex with your wife, you got married for the intimacy of being with someone, of sharing love, of sharing that relationship, of not being alone, of being with somebody.
What consummates the marriage?
Excuse me?
What consummates the marriage?
A piece of paper. Because sex doesn't. Because a lot of times relationships, there's a lot of relationships where they don't have sex when they get married. I know a couple that didn't have sex when they got married.
Well, you like to trace history. You like to go, you like to go back, you know, in times. Like, what's the tradition that would actually consummate the marriage, though? Before it was like, you know, a paper, you go down to City Hall and stuff like that.
That consummates a marriage.
I'm asking you back before it was
the ceremony. Long. Yes, even back then, the ceremony consummates the marriage. Once you have a ceremony, then you are married. It's not when you have sex. It's when you actually have the ceremony of marriage
that confirmates it. Now, not only that, but my other question. When we're talking about when we're talking about right or wrong, and since you made light of that, we're actually talking about, let's say for instance, is the young lady still on the phone?
Yeah, she's still on here. She's still on the phone.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. I have a question for you. Do you ever wear, and I'm making this a point, so it does go with what I'm talking about. Do you ever wear two types of fabric, like polyester and linen or leather and plaid? Like, do you actually wear two types of fabric?
No, but yeah, I do wear different materials, yes.
Okay. According to the Bible, that's actually wrong, and it's actually considered to be a sin.
Where?
But, huh?
Where?
It's actually in Leviticus. I don't know exactly what chapter, but I mean, I could find it for you right quick if you would like me to, and read it for you.
Yes, please.
Okay, hold on 1 second.
Nola, wear linen and wool together.
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
All right. Somebody could actually talk during while I'm looking for it.
Well, this is again.
Still on the phone too.
No, it's not off topic. I said I was.
Well, you know what? Just give me the scripture and I'll read it on my own.
Okay.
It's off topic.
No, it's not.
What does that have to do with homosexuality?
We're not going to discuss it. He's going to give me the scripture and then y'all going to continue.
He should have never brought it up.
You right, but he did, and I want to see it.
It's
Leviticus 19:19. It says, do not mate different kinds of animals. Do not plant your field with two kinds of seed. Do not wear clothing woven of two kinds of material.
You
all
said
right,
Leviticus
now,
what?
But that's not out of context. Well,
what is
no.
She's based upon homosexuality, but tonight it's homosexuality we're talking about.
So we're talking about homosexuality, and the reason why I brought that up is the very reason for homosexuality. And the reason why I said that is because we may view one thing as being wrong, but then we may view something else as not being wrong, but it's still covered under the same law you condemn people under. So it is dealing with the same thing. No reason
we're
why you don't want to bring it in.
We're not condemning anybody. He's not condemning anybody.
No. Listen.
Yeah.
Listen to what I say when I'm referring to condemning. When I'm referring to condemning, I am not necessarily saying Jay is saying or Jay is sending these people to hell. What Jay is saying, based on his belief, you read the word and then you see what it says and then you do otherwise.
Once you're no longer ignorant to it and you decide to do the opposite, that's on you. We are all responsible for our own salvation. He's not condemning you to nothing. Nobody on his line is condemning anybody.
Anybody at all.
I'm not saying that Jay is condemning someone. I'm saying that the belief that Jay follows is. That's all I'm saying.
No, hold up. But you understand,
from now on.
But hold up. Of course,
no.
Let me ask this, the ones that's on the line. Who is the judge of all?
God.
Who can condemn all?
God.
So if God's word speaks something about a sin, who does the condemning based on the sin?
God.
Mm-hmm.
If I speak and say God said this about this sin, and I'm speaking it, it's up to a person to believe it or not to believe it. It doesn't make me the judge. It's just
I just corrected myself and said, I wasn't referring to you as being the judge. I'm referring to the belief that you follow condemns.
You said the belief. You said the belief that, you said the belief, right?
Does condemn. And there's nothing wrong with what I just said.
No.
We're all reading the same Bible.
Who does the condemning? I think you should say who does the condemning.
Don't no, just it's say the belief. You know why? Do you know why I say it's the belief? Because people have different interpretations. And you can't say my interpretation is wrong. Neither can I say yours is wrong.
No. But what I'm saying is say.
That's why you
say,
don't try to interpret it. You take it for what it is and what it says.
You cannot take it for what it is and what it says because a lot of times, certain sins does not concern you. It doesn't concern your society. It doesn't concern your people. It doesn't concern your culture.
Certain what doesn't concern me?
Certain sins that the Bible recognizes as doing harm to God or doing injustice to God doesn't necessarily add up or follow your tradition, your culture, your society, and you as an individual. It has nothing to do with you.
What's your point?
My point is there are sins within about, you say, if you actually follow the Bible and you read the Bible, then if you actually follow the Bible and you read the Bible,
so
the Bible, God is the one that's
us,
actually
so you're
condemning.
We shouldn't be having this conversation. Is that your point?
Excuse me?
You're saying it has nothing to do with me or with us. So are you saying that we basically shouldn't even be having this conversation?
No, I'm not saying we well, have
what are
rights
you saying?
To. I'm saying that by you saying that your belief is based on what God is saying is right and wrong, I'm saying you have to reconsider that because is it talking about you? Is it talking about homosexuality in the way and context that you are reading it?
So I
because
have to
it
reconsider
might not,
what he
what?
Says. Because
what other way is it to look
to
at a man laying with a man? I just
like
want to know,
I
what
said,
other way is it to look at?
Like I said, within the context of the Bible,
No.
If you
I mean,
look
what
at,
other way can you look at that? If God said you're not man's not supposed to lay with man, right? If he says that, if you tell your child, don't do this, what other way is it to, like,
a lot of,
you know,
other,
I mean,
ways, because like I said, it's within context.
It's normally the only way to really look at it is the one who's really breaking that law or doing that sin. Those are the ones who look for different justifications based upon
what
they don't want to do.
Because I'm not gay, but I'm saying it's not wrong. So what do you have to say about that?
What I'm saying is like this. It really doesn't matter, really.
No,
what
you just made a statement. Talk about that statement.
No,
I said I'm not gay. So what do you say about that?
Whatever your sin is, this is what I said. Whatever your sin is, if you find yourself in it and God speaks in it, those are the ones that you would normally try to justify.
And I'm telling you,
homosexuality
is not wrong. So in your eyes, I'm justifying it, but I'm not gay. What does that say about that?
You're saying that, put it this way, maybe, I really don't know what it says about that.
And
right there.
What happens is a lot of times, this is my point. My point is, if we look at the Bible, instead of looking at it in its most literal sense, and we look at it face value, a lot of times scriptures are not referring to how we see it. To make it actually be true is because I'm looking at the same scriptures you're looking at, but I'm looking at it from a different context. So
I
you
hear what you're saying,
wrong?
But you're not explaining. I'm not you're not explaining nothing. You keep saying you're going to go by the Bible and, you know, you're going to go
and
by
you
the
can't
word,
go
by but
the
you're
Bible
not
and
explaining
if you go,
okay, so
okay, listen, listen. I can't
understand
where you're
coming from.
I kept saying it over and over again.
No, you haven't, yo.
Listen. I'm going to say it again. I'm going
prove
to say it again.
That God said it's okay for man to lay with man.
See, the
okay,
Bible
and
didn't. And my thing is, listen, this is what
the
Bible
when God is referring to homosexuality,
can I say
in the Bible, it's referring to negative condensation on the sex act, rape or lust.
Exactly.
But it's not referring to a very loving relationship.
That is definitely true, because the Bible does not mention like homosexual orientation, but it does it only mentions like certain homosexual acts in specific situations. So it doesn't speak totally about homosexuality. It's condemning certain things like homosexual rape.
Yo, throughout history, and, what was Sodom?
When you actually take the Bible and you take it out of this context, meaning that you actually use the Bible as a science book, it doesn't work, because that's not what the Bible is meant for. And you only can see certain things through its eye. And the Bible is not a science book. So it doesn't explain homosexuality in that way. The Bible has 13,000 scriptures in it. Six of them are pertaining to homosexuality. Six. That should say something. It doesn't have too much to say on homosexuality.
And it's not condemning homosexual orientation. It's condemning specific homosexual acts.
And just like when it's talking about sex, it doesn't condemn sex. It condemns certain sexual acts.
Exactly.
All I'm saying within the context of the Bible, which would allow us to understand sexual orientation and sexual conduct, so we can be loving to the people and we can be loving to the things that we deem as wrong. And we can look at the situation differently and handle it differently. And maybe we can come to some type of revolution differently. Because evidently what we have been doing has not been working. All I'm saying is, if you look at the Bible,
so you're saying
from
we can
a
create a revolution, we can create a revolution.
I'm sorry,
that
not,
we'll go
not, not, not revolution,
it,
but resolution.
Resolution. Oh,
yeah. I'm sorry.
So,
I'm about to say revolution.
I mean, yeah. Okay. So you're saying that God says, don't lay with men. I just want to read something real quick. I just want to know. I need some insight on something. I really do. I just need to hear this. When it says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that was against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burnt in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat."
Can I explain that?
Yeah.
What that's referring to is, and I'm talking about the context of the Bible, whether you accept it or not, it's what it is. When it's referring to that, it's referring to men and women who left their natural relationships, who left their heterosexual relationships to be in gay and lesbian relationships. And God is saying that this particular act, which Mr. Ex-Catholic was saying, certain sexual acts are wrong. And that's exactly what they were doing. But it has no reference to someone who's actually born a certain type of way, who says to themselves, it's normal for myself, to love the same sex. And not only that, I don't want to get into a relationship.
I don't agree with that. That sounds crazy. That's crazy,
yeah,
man.
Of course it sounds crazy, because you can't see anything besides
that. Hold up. Right now, listen. I'm going to make myself at this moment just reading that and not even... Just to read it.
Just to read
without
it.
Without being a Christian, just to read that. I don't get that from that.
Of course you don't get that from that. Because you don't have the Spirit of God to talk to you to.
Wow. Hold up.
I'm getting off.
You don't need a spirit. You don't need the Spirit of God.
I'm teasing.
I'm saying you don't need the Spirit of God. That right there is plain. I can't. You know what?
No, it's not.
You painted
because,
a nice picture, but you wait,
you can
tell
you.
You
are going to interpret it one way.
You add it to the Bible. Though. You
I didn't add anything to it. I didn't add anything to it.
Yes, you
not
did.
All,
man.
Not
you
at
did.
All did I add
what
anything
you just
to
described,
it. If you read it, and not, you know what? I want you to do yourself a favor.
If you come out of a straight relationship and go into homosexuality, then it's wrong.
But if you're natural to unnatural, then you added.
But if you're born homosexual, then it's okay. That's what you said.
Me personally, I think it's okay anyway. But I'm saying it says from natural to
it's
unnatural.
It's not about our personal feelings. It's about what God's word says.
Right. I'm not saying about our personal feelings.
Go ahead, Dr. Kelly. Let me hear what you got to say on that.
I've been listening for a long time, and I hear him saying all kinds of different things in your preference and what I feel, what I think. It's all about God's way with love and kindness and compassion that we show toward one another. And I'm listening to you quote scriptures. I'm listening to the men of God quote scriptures, and you referring is not about what we've been doing for 20, 30 years. I've been pastoring now for 20 years, been in ministry over 40 years, been on the radio broadcast for 18, 19 years. And this is the craziest stuff I heard. You know, we trying to bring peace and bring reconciliation and trying to talk, be as men and women in business and try to get clarity. That way we can reach the lost. We got to love everybody. We got to have compassion for one another. But the Bible says, he just read that clarity. I understood it. It wasn't my Christian experience. It's Ray Charles or anybody else that blind or deaf could understand what he just read. And then you take it and you change it and say, it didn't mean that, you know, then you scare me. Because the Bible says they that are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. Jesus Christ says, I am the same. I am the same. All those cultural changes, yes, the culture's going to change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I will never change. I don't care how many laws they pass, God's word will stand forever.
Now,
we got to stand on God's word. Let me finish. We can't use our common insight knowledge and then try to put the Spirit in it and try to justify it as okay.
Jargon.
Okay, now what I would have to say to that is because you are a pastor, I would try to be as respectful as possible. I would try my best to be as respectful as possible. And I'm not saying that I'm going to be rude, but I don't want to say anything that necessarily may come off as offensive.
I was listening. I was listening almost over 2 hours, and I was just listening to hear. I'm hearing the pros and cons and different things. I'm not bashing you. I'm not downing you. You got a right to your opinion, but I'm saying it's not what we feel, not we think. We study the law. We can't go and add this and add that and add this to justify our thoughts and feelings.
Okay.
We got to look at the Word of God as what it is.
Now, what I'm actually saying is, by no means am I adding anything or taking away from anything.
How did you read that different from what Brother Jermaine said?
He asked me to explain it, so I explained it.
But you explained it totally different from what it says.
No, I did not. Now, that is your view on it, and everybody has a right to view certain things the way they choose to view. Now, hold on. You actually said that God doesn't change. He's the same. I totally agree with that, but then there are some scriptures that say God does change. Now, the reason why I brought up that point is because you made that point. Now, if you
God
like,
changed.
I can actually...
He said the same yesterday, forever. Okay. Yes.
And the reason why I say that, because I can actually give you scriptures where it does say God actually changed his mind.
Just stick to your main point, what you were trying to... What's your point of question?
My point is, whether I may say that a scripture means this, or whether you may say a scripture means that, by you saying that the Spirit is leading you,
but the main,
by me saying,
main, okay, let me pause you a second. You saying, okay, that's one biggest problem we've been having in Christendom. We've been getting 3, 4, 5, 6 different discernment, different interpretation. Number one, if I in Christ and Christ in me, if you in Christ and Christ in you, we should be able to come and reason together and bring things to common knowledge and wisdom.
Of course we should, but that's not reality. That's not the case, and it never happens
but,
that way. Because if that was the case, if
but
that was the case, the Bible,
Christians, we don't deal with the logic of man.
If that was the case, the Bible in itself, the religion within itself, would still be a whole. Do you know how many Christian religions there are out there? There are over 33,000 Christian
sects. There's only one baptism called Ephesians. We deal with religion. Religion is man's law.
So
we deal with salvation, Christianity, to be Christ-like. So
okay.
If you was right, I got you. I back you 100%. We should have 4 different gospels, 10 different gospels, a young people gospel, an old people gospel. You have one gospel.
But it is. But you have to understand, and the reason why it is because this book that a lot of people take so literally is a very arbitrary book. It's a very, very, very.
Okay.
It's a
how
book
do
that
we properly how do we properly
the way
understand?
They choose to take it.
How do we properly understand it?
You understand it according
to
you.
No. Paul told Timothy to study, to show himself approved.
Now, I've actually studied, but you just said that the scripture that I just gave was totally wrong. So how in the world can you decipher whether I'm studying or not, or whether the next person is studying or not?
No.
You're basing that based upon you not agreeing with me.
What Brother Jermaine read, then your interpretation of what Brother Jermaine read was totally the opposite.
And
that's
your
interpretation of
it is totally opposite as well.
Okay.
Everybody has an
interpretation.
Everybody has a different interpretation.
Hold on
1 minute. He's a pastor. We were given gifts. Understand, pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists. Do you understand? So the word that he's getting is not the same word that we're getting.
Wait, hold on. The reason
you got to step back and respect that.
No, listen. I said before I started talking, I said I do not want to disrespect in any type of way, but I would not be able to speak. I would not be able to voice my opinion.
You are Heavenly Father.
Hold on one second. As the host, listen. Aaron's role on this show is the devil's advocate to speak for those that we can't, what people are thinking.
Right.
Not saying that every view that he speaks out of his mouth is his personal view.
Okay.
All right. But
some
of it is, some of it isn't. So he's the one, when you call and listen, he's the one that normally will take the opposing side of the majority. So,
but we're not no
fools,
either. We're not no fools.
Listen, no. It has nothing
okay,
to do with anybody
I'm
being a fool. Just listen. What I want to say is, I said, in no kind of way do I want to come off as disrespectful, but I can't share my views if someone views themselves as being a pastor, a bishop, an apostle, and I can't share my views because I have to be more respectful to their position.
Well, I understand that.
Now, see, the thing is, on this show, all of those are totally put aside for the sake of this show, where we can actually sit down and have a conversation as men, as women, as human beings. So I do not feel obligated, or I do not feel scared to view my point. That's why we can't do it in church.
Because
there is hierarchy
in
church.
It's not about being scared. He hasn't sat here and went through the entire debate or discussion with us. As he said, he sat back for the last 2 hours and he's listened.
And I sat back within the first hour of the show and I listened.
And he said, this is what,
I didn't say
that's
anything.
What that is.
And I didn't say anything at the first hour of the show. I let everybody talk. And it was like six callers actually called in. And everybody said everything. I didn't say
absolutely.
Not one word. Not one word.
And
so,
you know something? That's great. We want people to call in. It's going to be like that. And the thing is like this. I appreciate Pastor Kelly coming on here and talking because the average, there's a lot of preachers and pastors who might not want to come on a show like
that
this.
Won't do it. Exactly.
That won't do it based on this.
I respect him for that. I respect pastors and bishops for actually coming in, doing what he's doing because, like Jay said, they feel as though their position won't allow them to come and talk about this. And that's why a lot of times situations don't get fixed in churches because we don't have these kind of conversations. We don't have these kind of discussions. And I respect any man. I don't care what position you hold. I respect you to come on and deal with situations and talk about it. And this is the whole point of this show. Dirty
That's right. When you
become
dirty
means
church
exactly
radio.
That. It means exactly that. Where you
no
can come
topic.
Here and plant whatever type of seed that you have. Some people may actually water it. Some people may not. But this is the place where you can
I understand what you're saying. I just came that way because I have the utmost respect for my pastor, and I take what he says with the highest regard. So,
yes,
but
I
understand
you're
playing. You're playing the devil's advocate, so we don't even have to keep delving into it. I get it. Let's move on.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead, Pastor.
Pastor Kelly, if you wanted to finish.
No, I believe that. I believe that this was a very good, informative. It opens your mind to think. And sometimes we get in a box as Christians, and we just kind of like, you know, I'm a diehard. I'm going to, they're going to hell, blah, 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 blah. But you have an open perspective, but keep your mindset on what the Word of God says. And teaching and studying and learning, and we help us with one another. We build one another. You helped me out tonight. Okay, everybody help me out. But I watch, I listen, I learn. I want to be a man of God to be able to deal with the subjects of this world. That, like I said, I got many pastors. I got many pastor friends. A lot of them, they would not even tempt to be on this broadcast. Even when I was on the radio for 18 years. I will call different pastors, says, I want you to join me and share. They said, no, Pastor Kelly, I can't get on there, man. It's too tough, man. They're afraid. I'm like, what? You're a man of God, you're afraid? But this is not about bashing men and women of God. But, man, we need men of God and women of God to be able to stand. The Word of God said, and he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints.
Of the saints, yes.
So that we may build one another up, encourage one another, strengthen one another, that we build up power and anointing and increasing and developing men and women of God to know the right word of God. I don't bend all over. I don't been an apostolic
and
church, apostolic church, Church of God in Christ, Church of God by faith, United Holy Church of Man, all those different, everybody got a different belief and different perspective. But you got
to
be open-minded.
To add on what he said, the Bible says, sword sharpens sword. And
right.
I believe that iron sharpens iron. It's very, very healthy for even people who actually hold positions to come to reality at times and actually sharpen themselves and actually deal with the people in the sense of having discussions so that when they actually go and minister, a lot of times this helps a lot of pastors. It helps because it keeps them open-minded. He said earlier, Pastor Kelly said earlier, that a lot of times pastors and bishops and preachers, they're closed-minded. And the reason why they're closed-minded is because they're never challenged. Nobody in their congregation challenges them. Nobody as their friends of pastors, they don't challenge them. So I believe this is a platform where it can be a huge blessing
to pastors and people of the kind to actually come here and sharpen themselves. Whether they agree with me or whether they disagree with me and other people on the show or not, it's for that purpose. And I believe that it can be very healthy. And let you know, I'm going to be the one that is going to be the other iron sharpening you, because I will ask you the questions that nobody will ask. I will say the things that nobody will say, because this is the platform to do so, and I'm not afraid to do it on this platform.
Can I say something? I think the one of the problems is that when we follow the scriptures and the word of God that that we're teaching, the problem is like a lot of the words that said or written, we follow them verbatim, or we follow them, very strictly. And then we choose
literally
some other words that we decide not to follow so in concrete, you know what I'm saying? And then,
they pick and choose.
It kind of causes a problem in modern society trying to teach somebody ethic that was being written down in Roman times or, in the time that the Bible was written, and trying to explain it to them in modern day life, and trying to make it make sense. And it doesn't necessarily make sense sometimes when you correlate it with our lives now. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? It's like a lot of the scriptures, you would actually have to put yourself in those times to understand the concepts that they were talking about and what they meant,
and
at that time.
I hear what you're saying. I'm going to tell you, one of my main things on this show is, I don't force my belief on anybody to believe.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I do want to get, whatever grows out of this dirt on this show, is that mankind will get a concept that there is a higher power than himself, that he will acknowledge that I am the creation and I've been created. I'm not telling you to go to a Baptist church. I'm not telling you to go to the mosque. I'm not telling you. I'm telling you not to actually find religion. I'm telling you to find God or help get you in a position where you can be found.
Speaking about homosexuality specifically, do we all kind of understand, I know we're kind of sort of on the same page, but do we all kind of understand that in Genesis or in Leviticus, they were actually speaking about condemning a homosexual rape, not necessarily homosexuality in the Bible specifically, loving another man, like you would love a wife, but not necessarily.
No, I don't agree with that.
I would also have to add to this. If we are taking the Bible in its literal sense, it also says when it's referring to homosexuality, what you should do is you should take them and stone them to death. You should kill homosexuals.
Under the law.
Listen, that is the excuse
to
use. Because there are some laws that we still follow within the Old Testament. But like we said earlier,
we pick and choose
based on our society and culture which laws we deem to be correct.
Let me explain something to you. If we live under the law, right? If we now we're under grace. If we were still under the law and you broke one sin, you broke them all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like when you sinned and you did this, it was just that. You broke the whole law. So if
no,
you
but
did
there were
one
different
thing, no,
consequences
no,
based on the law.
We're all sinners.
No. When you broke a law, you sinned the whole, you sinned, you broke everything. You sinned.
There were certain consequences for certain sins.
But what I'm telling you,
the specific sin we're talking about today is if you are a homosexual, it's our job as believers in God to take them out from the city and stone them to death.
But
why won't you do that? The Bible says do it. Why won't you do it?
What are the wages of sin, though? What is the wages of sin? What is the wages of sin?
No, no, no. My question to you is, why won't you do it? Why won't
because
you be a homosexual?
In the Old Testament.
No.
Well, can I
why
say something? Can I say something?
Why because we're not under the law no more.
No,
you are under the law. You're still under the law. I'm going to tell you why you're under the law.
No,
because
Christ
you still
the last,
follow.
You understand? Christ
you
was
still
the last
follow
sacrifice.
Certain laws. You still follow certain laws.
But you know what? Hold up. But you know what people would do?
What?
People would go and sacrifice things for their sin. Right or wrong?
I'm not talking about sacrificing. I'm talking about why won't you
condone
a homosexual?
Listen.
They would sacrifice for their sins. The whole thing, this whole Christian walk, and since grace now, the whole concept of everything, what God requires for us is repentance. Acknowledge the sin. Acknowledge that the wages of sin is death. All right? But Christ, when he paid the price for us, it gave us the opportunity to live. So
my question still stands.
Why don't you stone someone when they are gay?
Okay. Can I say something?
Yes.
All right. I'm gonna say this. At the intellect of man, if the logic of man was good enough to keep them, we wouldn't even be on the phone having this discussion.
Right.
That's number one. All right. Number two, because the logic of man, which is the way a man thinks, is already jacked up. That's why the logic of man needs the mind of God. Because there's nothing good that can come out of the mind of a man without God in it.
It's distorted.
Okay, hold on. So, okay. The bottom line is this. We, a godless man is, to me, as far as I'm concerned, is a man that has the ability to do any corruptible thing. Because corruption is already in man. Man is already corruptible when he's born. Because he's born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Number one. So, and I said this earlier, I'm going to say it again. Because to even get a glimpse of the mind of God, the only way you can do that is through the scriptures. You can't do that through a medical book. You can't do that through the books that you refer to, Aaron, because it's impossible to get into the mind of God without consulting the scriptures. All right.
Can I read something for you guys? Something that I was reading earlier, and you know, it's the last thing I'll read tonight, and then I'll probably be off after that. But I just wanted you guys to hear this. It was titled, "We Are No Longer Under the Law."
Right.
The Apostle Paul taught that we are no longer under the law, period. The verses are Leviticus 18:22 and 20:13. First, thou shalt not lie with a man as with a woman, it is an abomination. Second, if a man lie with a man as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. There is, however, a big problem with quoting Leviticus. The problem is that Christians are no longer under the law. We do not live our Christian life by following the Old Testament law. The Apostle Paul makes this abundantly clear.
Clear.
It is not something fabricated to win an argument or made up in the 20th century, or manufactured to get around something somebody doesn't like. It is clearly stated in Greek scriptures. The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of law, Galatians 3:10. It's almost finished. If we rely on following the law, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, we are under a curse. The passage above, Galatians 3:10, contains a quote from the law itself, Deuteronomy 27:26. According to Paul's statement below, things have changed. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. It was Jesus' death on the cross that rescued us from the curse of the law. If we insist on following the law and imposing the law on others, we negate the cross of Christ and repudiate Christ's death on the cross. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Galatians 5:1. So, I mean, if you understand, from what I understand from that, is that for us to really, you know, go by that first scripture that's in Leviticus that states that, you know, one that a man shall not lie with another man, et cetera, right?
What about the scriptures in the New Testament?
Yeah, because we quoted Romans.
That goes back to what I was saying in the beginning was that, like, how it some of it will go by the Old Testament and some of it will go by the New Testament. Some of it we kind of interpret in our own ways. It's just like, you know, we really can't just go off the scriptures verbatim, word for word, and live by it the way it was written because it was written, because things change.
Okay. Now, I'm going to say this. We're not on the phone discussing the law, sir. So you and I said that earlier when you said it, when you alluded to that earlier over an hour ago. When you alluded to that, the topic is not the law, sir. The topic is homosexuality.
In the Bible, homosexuality is not referred to specifically as having a love for another man is not a sin. As far as wanting to be lust for another man or being with another man might be. So that's how it goes.
Okay, sir. But the point I'm trying to make.
Homosexual ain't in the Bible. The word gay ain't in the Bible. But
okay.
Sodomite is. Like Sodom with all that, like that word, that's in there.
Because let's be clear. Because he keeps talking about that whole thing that was read so eloquently, might I add, was talking about the law, sir. So, you know, we sat here, listened to you read that nice little thing, poem you read, and it was talking about the law. We're not discussing the law tonight. So I'm trying to understand what your point was for even reading that, what you just read. So I guess he hung up or whatever, but hello?
Hello?
Yeah. He's still on
okay. There. My point is, we're not discussing the law. We're not discussing the Torah.
No, the only reason I read that was pertaining to what we were talking about. I wasn't necessarily debating.
But
it didn't have anything
with what we were talking about. It didn't have anything to
because
do with
we
it.
He read that because
the scripture in Leviticus. So since we read a scripture in Leviticus
exactly.
That's considered a law, so that's why he read that scripture. But even though we're talking about homosexuality, and we're not basing that statement just from
the
Old
law.
Testament, because Jesus, he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law, and it's in the
exactly.
New Testament too.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right.
He came and so, but this
okay.
Thing
so
means,
my point was, why did you even? And I understand why, but I've been saying all night. Let's stay on the topic. The topic is not law. We just sat on this phone and wasted two, not, I don't want to say wasted, but if we would have stayed on the topic, I think we could have got a lot more accomplished if we would have stayed on the topic. The topic was not law. And to me, all that was, and this is my personal opinion, it was trying to justify something that you can't justify. The bottom line is, the Bible in the New and the Old Testament is saying the same identical thing,
mm-hmm.
period. And we'll be on the phone till next week if we go by what you just read.
If you're talking about the Bible, it's talking about homosexual rape.
Sir, no matter how you flip it, what is the, even if we take the Bible in this literal term, what is it saying? If we take what the Bible's saying literal, what you and Aaron is saying, we shouldn't take the Bible in this literal term. Well, what other way are we supposed to take it?
All I was saying was that it's talking about homosexual rape specifically.
Saying it's just talking about homosexual rape?
Where does it say anything
where
about
does it
rape?
Say that?
That's what I just got finished saying. That's what
where did you get that from?
That's his interpretation.
No, it's not interpretation. You can keep reading, I'll tell you exactly where in a minute.
Okay, now, what I was saying was, if I buy an owner's manual for my car, and please listen to me, because God just dropped this in my spirit. If I buy an owner's manual for my car, and the owner manual say I only can burn premium gas, but I take it upon myself to have my own interpretation of what that means, and something happens to my car, whose fault is that?
Yours.
Okay, so the bottom line is, I could come up with my own interpretation to try to justify me not burning premium gas when my manual says burn premium gas. I could sit up and give you all kinds of reasons why I shouldn't burn premium gas, but what does the manual say? All right, and until you could give me a better book to go by, I don't want to hear nothing about don't take the Bible literally, because no one on this phone, including you or Aaron, has given us another book that we could go by.
You're already not taking the Bible literally. You don't follow the Bible. Like when he was talking earlier, he was saying that, well, you know, you would, based on the Bible, you would stone the gays to death.
Man, we'll be on the phone all night doing this, playing semantics with words, sir. And we're not edifying nobody by you doing that. Where's the edification? We know that we're not living under the law, sir. Because if it was the case, we'll be going around stoning homosexuals every time we see one. So let's let that go. All right, because that to me that is a waste of precious time.
Yeah, because nowhere near on there do any of us view or look at that to stone anyone in that way. You know what I mean? God, listen, you gotta understand, man. Period. According to the Bible, sin is worthy of death. According to God, man. You know what I mean? Whether it's New Testament or Old Testament, that's why even with Jesus, us being saved, sin still will have its day. And if you die, according to my belief, in your sin, you will be paid the wages of that sin.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless if it's homosexuality, which God speaks against, regardless if it's lying, whatever the sin is, and not measuring, saying that homosexuality is worse than a liar or anything like that, but God's word is his word. You can't. Say that again.
As far as you guys were asking me earlier about the actual scripture, it was from the story of Sodom in Genesis 19. It says this understanding is helpful when you read the story of the city of Sodom. Lot and the visitors, the men of Sodom want to know yada, which is a Hebrew word that can mean sexual intercourse.
Are you reading from the Bible?
No, I'm telling you where it's coming from that I was talking
about.
Okay,
just read the scripture, bro. Just read the scripture.
All right. Well, you know what? I don't have the scripture in front of me. So
okay, well, then ain't no need even talking about that.
Okay.
And there's no need to talk about it.
I'll just be quiet. Because
we read scripture to back up what we were saying. If you don't have the scriptures, then that nullifies everything you just said.
Mr. Ex-Catholic, listen, when we either have this the topic again, another dealing with this issue, have that scripture ready.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Look at the blogs. Do your research. You're always welcome to come on here.
No problem.
Your points of view.
No problem.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I have no hard feelings at all.
No, it's never that.
Like,
but when we mention the scriptures, you got to understand, when we're dealing with scriptures and you're going to mention the scripture, make sure you be able to give the scripture and read it. When it comes to like saying what God's word says, we just don't want to come just from our own mind thinking he said that. We want to exactly say what he said when you're going to deal with the scriptures. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
So, listen, man, I'm going to tell everyone here. Matter of fact, the lady that's still on the phone, I believe on the 977 number.
That's me.
Before we go off, is there anything that you want to say? And tell us, how long have you been listening to the show, or is this your first time listening today?
Actually, today was my first time listening.
Did you hear about the show?
You posted it on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
I said, this is Roz.
Roz?
Mm-hmm.
Roz Spearman?
Yes.
Roz Spearman?
Roz Griffin.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm Jermaine's cousin.
Oh! What's up, cuz? I ain't even know that was you on the phone. What's going on, cuz? Dang, I got family calling in and everything. What's going on, cousin?
I'm just getting into the word with y'all.
Yeah, okay. I thank you for calling, cuz, and listening this long with us on the line.
I was glad to partake in it.
So what you think of the show so far, like, as you did?
Well, it's kind of late. I'm tired, but it's a good thing. I do believe it's a good thing, you know, because like you said, a lot of things it is kind of difficult to discuss in a church setting. So this does, you know, it opens up doors for, you know, questions that need to be answered sometimes that you can't always get when you go to church.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely a good thing as long as it, you know, stays in the proper atmosphere and people don't get out of pocket.
Okay.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
I appreciate it. I hope this ain't the last time you be calling in, cuz. And spread the word if you can. Help me spread this word, cuz.
About this show.
You know what I'm saying? I love you, cuz. Dr. Kelly.
I love you, too.
Yes, sir. I love you, then.
Could you give us a few words before we end this segment of the show? Tell us what you thought about it. You know, just, you know, being on here and, you know.
I enjoyed it. I just let everybody know to just be mindful, be, you know, listen. And sometimes we have to defend the faith, as the Word of God tells us. We have to defend the faith. But our teacher principle in leadership class, never allow your zeal to go ahead of God's will. The zealousness, somehow we get excited. When we voice opinion, make sure it's God's opinion and not what we feel or what we think or emotions get in the way. And we blast people because we're loving